I command you to come out. And he say, where you want me to go? Which exit do you want me to take? You know, when Jesus come up and say, come out, they say, do we have to leave the country? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. This happened in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus, please don't send us out of the country. They know they gone. Yeah. The man done showed up. Yeah. He is the man. Yeah. He got a thought. Did you come here to torment us before the time? You ain't supposed to be here right now. Yeah. It ain't your time, Jesus, to be messing with us. Wow. Jesus said, come out. Yeah. Okay, where you want us to go? Can we go in them pigs? Wow. Wow. That's right. They know they're coming out. See the difference in authority? See the difference in the understanding that when you know who you are and you know what God has given you, the impact is different in the realm of the spirit when you know what you're talking about, when you know that God's given you the authority to deal with principalities and powers and sickness and disease or whatever other situation going on that you can use that name. I'm going to tell you, when you have the proper respect and you carry the honor of that name, I'm going to tell you stuff going to happen. Amen. God's going to move because that name, listen, you can't have faith in that name and something not happen. How can that be? How can that be possible for you to have faith in the name and know nothing happen? When God honors his word, he honors his name, he looking for faith, how he not going to do nothing? How could he stand by, you got faith in that name, and he say, I ain't moving right now? No, he's moving. In fact, he the one nudging you. He nudged you to use the name. Listen, I stepped on CC's foot one time. I know I broke her foot. She couldn't walk. She couldn't put no pressure on it. I was getting ready to take her to the emergency room. I said, I know I broke your foot. She was crying in tremendous pain. And then the Holy Spirit said, you haven't prayed? So I said, CC, sit back down here in the couch. Let me pray. And I grabbed that foot. And I put this hand under the bottom and this hand over the top. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, put these broken bones back together again. Heal what's been damaged. Let there be no swelling. I ask for it in Jesus' name. And then I felt this in my hands. So when I finished praying, I said, Cece, was you wiggling your toes when I was praying for you? She said, no, I can't move. I couldn't move nothing. I said, well, the Lord just put the bones back together again. I felt them when they rearranged in my hand. I said, get up. You can stand up on that now. I said, go ahead, put some weight down on it. She got up and she said, oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all right. Wow. All the pain was gone. I said, it ain't going to swell up either.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The blood still works. Praise Him. Will you stand to your feet and get your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word. Open our ears, our minds, our hearts to hear you. Lord God, we pray that you will speak to each one of us individually and all of us collectively, that your word and your will may be done in us. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Jesus sent to save. Jesus sent to save. That was the mission of Jesus to planet Earth, to restore the people of God back to God. He was sent here to save by any means necessary. Therefore, he was born to die. And make no mistake about it, unlike us, he knew his purpose before he ever got to planet Earth and accepted it willingly so that he might do the will of his heavenly Father. Now, this is our traditional Christmas story, and we're excited about Christmas and all of the wonderful things that Christmas brings, the presents and the festivities, etc. But the real message of Christmas is that Jesus was sent to save. And I want to deal with that and delve in that a little bit, and hopefully we'll make just a little impact upon your hearts and minds concerning this, because it's important for us to recognize again how God moved methodically, thoughtfully, clearly through this process to get Jesus here to do what he was sent to do. Matthew takes us back to the beginning of Abraham. Abraham, and he who was a heathen from a heathen Gentile nation, was proven faithful to God, worthy of God's friendship, and his faithfulness was counted as righteousness. He became again the father of many nations because of his faithfulness. And when you look at this, Matthew takes it and breaks it down like this. From Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon is 14 more generations. From the carrying away of Babylon to Christ, again, are 14 generations. Matthew walks through 42 generations. And if you don't believe it, just go back to verse 1 and you'll see where he talks about this. And he talks about Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat you get the message, don't you? And walk on through that if you want to, but you're going to end up at Jesus. Now listen at this, because what I want you to hear and understand is the fact that when they got to this point, the Bible says in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When Mary, as his mother, was espoused or engaged to Joseph to be married to him, she was found pregnant with Jesus, but it was no dealings with man or mankind. It was of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was considered a just man, a good man, and for good reasons, because his engaged wife, fiance, and let me say this to you, just throwing this out parenthetically, when one was espoused in the Jewish marital system, that was the legal part of marriage. In other words, they were already married, but they did not have the ceremony celebration. In other words, when they were espoused or engaged, it was a legal process. Licenses were signed, commitments were made. The law recognized them belonging to one another. If Joseph would have died before the wedding day, which was usually 1 year from the time they signed the license, Mary would have been a widow, even though she had not had the wedding ceremony nor slept with her husband. That's how binding the engagement was. So that was the legal part of marriage. The wedding celebration was the fun part that came later. And so Joseph now has already signed the papers. He has already made known, Mary is my espoused wife. Everybody knows Mary belongs to him. If Mary shows up pregnant, who are you going to think they're going to think made Mary pregnant? Now, Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He didn't want that on his conscience, on his reputation. So he thought about putting her away privately, not making a public spectacle out of her. But the Bible says, in a dream, the angel came and stood by him and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary as thy wife. The thing that's going on with her, in other words, is of the Holy Ghost. It is a supernatural thing. It is not man-made. When Joseph hears this, and this is important, it is what gave him the peace of mind to know that this was of God, because God knew his thoughts. God knew what he was going to do. And so he hurriedly sends an angel there to minister to him. And thank God for that. Listen to this. What I am not clear about is who the angel was. In Luke, the Bible says the angel was Gabriel. Gabriel came to Zacharias, stood on the right side of the altar, declared, I am Gabriel. Gabriel, who stand in the presence of the Lord, and told Zechariah that he would have a son. His name would be John, and all of that. He and Elizabeth would have a child. And then he moves on 6 months later to Mary. He tells Mary she's going to have a baby without a husband, and she doesn't know how this is going to happen. So he explains it to her. Then he says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words." In other words, I'm not doubting what you say. I just want to know how this is going to be. So now that I understand, let it be, let it be, let it be. Now, but Matthew doesn't say who it is. So when I go back in my frame of reference, when I recognize God sent Gabriel to make the annunciation and the announcement that the Son of God was coming to this world, he made the announcement that the forerunner who would prepare the way of the Lord, John, was coming in this world. It just seemed to make sense that he would have also spoken with Joseph, but the Bible doesn't say that. So one of the things I do realize is that there are classes and ranks of angels. There are only three chief archangels. Michael is a chief archangel, but he's the chief archangel of war. When God needs somebody to go down, he's over all the warring angels and all those. When he needs somebody to step in and do something, he lets Michael handle it, and he or those under him will handle the situation. So most likely, he didn't send Michael. He didn't send Raphael. Raphael is another archangel, chief angel. Why didn't he send Raphael? Because the word Raphael means healing God. Raphael means God. It means the angel of the healing God. What, nobody sick? I couldn't see God sending him down to tell Mary or Joseph about this news. It makes sense that he sent Gabriel, but if it wasn't Gabriel, it was somebody under his command. And I've learned if the word don't major in it, then I won't major in it also. The word says an angel. We're going to leave it at that. But listen at this. The angel comes now, and the angel tells him this story. But look at what else the angel does. The angel says, "She shall bring forth a son." And then he says to him, "Thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus." Now look at again how order is maintained. How structure is maintained. We told you in the Jewish custom on the eighth day, the man, the father, gave the name to the child. Even though Gabriel told Mary all about Jesus and what his name was, he made sure the angel to tell Joseph what his name was and said that thou shalt call his name Jesus. So on the eighth day, he would have the right, even though he didn't participate in Jesus' coming here, he would have the right as his earthly father to name him. So Joseph has the privilege of naming the baby Jesus, although it was already given by God and prophesied. Now notice here what he also tells him. "For he shall save his people from their sins." I'm going to come back to save for just a moment. I want to deal with his people from their sins. One of the things that we must be clear and understand was that Jesus was designed to come back to the house of Israel. He was designed to come back to the Jews, God's favorite people, his chosen people, not to everybody else, but to the Jews. But listen at this. When he came to the Jews decided they didn't want him. That he was not the one they were looking for. And John says in chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him gave he the power to become the sons of God. So what does that say? First of all, it says that Jesus came back for his ministry to the Jews. But listen at this. The Jews were his object of ministry. Object of ministry. That was his focus. That was his purpose. You remember when the woman came and she was begging for the crumbs that fell from the man's table, and she tried to reason with Jesus, and he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but yeah, the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from his table. She went to telling him, wait a minute, I might not be the chosen one, but I am somebody. And Jesus heard that because Jesus knew he had brought bread for the children, but if the children didn't want the bread, he wasn't going to let the bread go to waste. Now listen at this, because what is important about this is the fact that, again, Jesus tried to minister to his own, but they would not receive it. So since they rejected him, the gift that he had was too great to take back to glory. So what he did was he chose to include whosoever will. And that opened up the opportunity for all who would accept Jesus to become a part now of this salvific experience. He would now save anybody who wanted to be saved, whether they were Jewish or not. Why? Well, let's back up to the name Jesus. The name Jesus literally means save or savior. You see, the whole point of Jesus coming down here was to save. And here's what you need to know. He was going to save somebody. It was in him. It was who he was. It was what he did. He was going to save somebody, even if his own people did not want to be saved. So he then took the opportunity to extend it beyond his people. As a story, and I want you to hear this, because this pretty much sums up what I'm trying to say. I was a young girl who had spent several Christmases with her grandmother, and she had observed her grandmother's practices. Her grandmother would always have many presents under the Christmas tree, and everybody's name she could think of would be on those presents. And the little girl asked the grandmother, "Grandmother, when did you get these presents?" The grandmother said, "Well, right after Christmas is over, when the big sales come on, I go shopping. And then every holiday that come by and they have a big sale, I go shopping. And all through the year, I pick up little gifts here and there, good gifts that I get at a great discount. And I go on and I wrap them up and I put a name tag on them." And the little girl, young girl rather, noticed that she had some presents there, and noticed that one of the gifts where the person's name was on it had died. And another person had fallen out with her grandmother. And she had noticed on one Christmas, several folk came by who did not have presents underneath the tree, because they came unexpected. And so as they came unexpectedly, the little girl asked a grandmother, "Grandmother, how can you buy these gifts so far in advance and not knowing what will happen all the way back till the next Christmas?" The grandmother said, "Well, baby, that's easy. What I do is I get extra tags." And if somebody should happen to die, the present is still good. So I take that tag off and I go in my drawer full of tags and get another tag and write somebody else's name on it and put that on the present. If somebody acts up with me and get mad and don't want to be bothered with me, I take that name off and go back into my drawer of tags and put on it somebody else's name. If I get some folk that I love and I just forgot about and they show up, what I do is get some presents that I've already gotten and I've had the opportunity to know what they are. I bring them in the back and I remove the tag off of them and put their name on it and bring it from the back, and they think it's a special. When all I did was change the tag. And she said, "How did you get this knowledge?" The old lady said, "From church." The young girl said, "What do you mean from church?" She said, "Well, the preacher was preaching. He was talking about the man had prepared a banquet, and those guests who were supposed to come to the banquet didn't show up. So he sent his stewards out to go and compel men and women to come to the banquet, that the banquet was ready for whosoever will. So he took their name tags off the table and put those who came in from here and there on that table. And he said the food was too good to let go to waste." And he said, "Well, that's what Jesus did when he came to his own, and his own would not receive him. The gift of salvation was too great to let him go back to glory. So he took the names of the Jews who would not receive him, and he put my name, and he put your name, and he put whosoever will name on the gift." Oh, don't sit here and act like you are always the one who got the first choice. A whole lot of you are here because somebody else messed up. Don't sit here looking like you all of that. You somebody else's second choice, third choice, fifth choice. Oh, y'all gonna act all funny with me. But oh, if the gift is good, all you got to do is take the name tag off, put another one on, and the gift is good right on. Somebody shout glory. Thank God for Jesus, whose gift is too good to let go to waste. That's why he says, "Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life." Hallelujah. Ask the short version of that. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. My brother, my sister, Jesus came to save, and what he did because he loved us. God sent him. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And he came. Saving is what he does. Not just your soul, but your situation. He saves every part of you. Whatever you're going through, he's here to save you. He's a deliverer. He's a redeemer. He's waiting on you to let him in, to give him a call to say, Jesus.